Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Millennial Precious Metals, trade on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MPM and on the OTCQB under the symbol MLPMF. Now, this interview is following up on a recent conversation that we had with Doc Jones and his site visit to Millennial Precious Metals and a couple of their projects. We do have on the line with us the president and CEO, Jason Kosek. Now, Millennial Precious Metals focused on a couple projects in Nevada, the flagship being the Wildcat property, which the company did just release some news on about the commencement of a drill program that is starting there. But we also did recently receive some drill results from the Mountain View property. Those drill results released yesterday, May 12th, the headline number being 1.48 grams per ton gold over 185 and a half meters. Also includes a higher grade section of almost 4 grams per ton gold over 37 meters. This high grade portion, it's approximately 100 meters outside of the proposed pit here at Mountain View. Jason, now that we have the drill program 7,200 meters fully completed, all these holes are now released. Give us an overview of the goals behind this program and what some of this drilling has shown you about potentially expanding on that resource.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Corey and Chad, for having me on. Much appreciated. Thanks for your listeners for joining as well. Yeah, just a little summary on what we were trying to achieve at Mountain View. And what we really did achieve was the phase one program, like I said, as you mentioned, was 27 holes, 7,200 meters. It was really designed to do the geotechnical work, do the metallurgy, see what the resource conversion rate was from inferred to indicated, because that's really important for the PEA, but also to see where all these mineralizing fluids coming from and where can we expand it and really grow our geological knowledge. And after such a successful program, we're really wrapping our heads around the really main controls of mineralization. So these high grade zones, as you mentioned, you know, 40 meters of 4 grams roughly, you know, other zones like 40 meters of 2 grams or 11 meters of 10 grams. What they're characterized by is this hydrothermal breccia. So fluids migrating up faults, brecciating the surrounding rock. And what we've noticed is that the grade increases as we get deeper, but also increases as we go to the northwest. And luckily for us, you know, it's never been drilled off to the northwest. And as you mentioned, the high grade intercept of 37 meters of 4 grams was 100 meter step out. So adding 100 meters of strike to the proposed pit. And that's exactly how you add significant quality ounces very quickly with grades like that.
Well, Jason, it's also impressive just some of the wide intercepts that may not be as high of grade, but, you know, 185 meters with 1.48 grams per ton is a very economic hit. So maybe just speak to, with these high grade hits and then these long interval hits, the economics around, if you were to develop a project like this, are pretty zesty when you're thinking about Nevada and how this stacks up to other projects.
Yeah, so just so all the listeners know out there, the average grade in the Great Basin for oxides is actually around 0.38. So these are orders of magnitude higher, okay? And, you know, some intercepts, you know, 128 meters of 1.7, 20 meters of 2.3, 275 meters of 0.5, 232 of 0.9, 185 of 1.48. You know, the grade of the resource is actually 0.57, okay? So, you know, the continuity here is really spectacular. And the oxidation profile persists below 250 meters. And then you get into this mix zone. And there's a lot of post-mineral faulting that really aids to the economics. So you don't need a primary and a secondary or a tertiary crush. And, you know, some people might play around with those residual grade calculators to talk about grade smearing and all that sort of stuff. It's great. It's really good. We actually quoted in our press release. And the residual grade, I believe, of hole 24 was 115 meters of 0.45 or something like that. So well above the cutoff grade. So therefore not smearing. So our cutoff grade is 0.15 at Mountain View. So it's important for listeners to understand that as well.
Jason, what about hole 25 that was released in this news release as well? We have a cross section for that hole in figure two. It was drilled more to, let's say, the northwest area of this resource. Didn't come back with the same long widths or quite as high of grades, but give us a little more information on what you might have learned from hole 25, please.
Yeah, so it was actually designed as for an environmental hole, believe it or not. And it was pushed to the northwest portion of the pit for waste rock characterization. And as we were getting deeper and deeper, we actually just stepped into this hydrothermal breccia. And that's why you saw the grades pick up, you know, 17 meters of 0.6 and change right at the end of the hole. So the geologist recognized this right away and tried to push the hole back into that breccia. And unfortunately, the drill was torquing out. Basically, the rock around it was seizing around the drill string and causing the drill to torque out, basically. And we had to shut it down for technical reasons. But if that hole kept on going, that would have added another 130 meters of strike to this high-grade breccia, to the ward to the northwest. So we're very happy to see that. Unfortunately, we needed to hurry up, finish this program so that we can get over to the Wildcat project, because we need to do about 30,000 meters over there so that we can submit all the work for the metallurgy primarily and finish that drill program for the upcoming resource in the third quarter. And that'll obviously feed the PEA in the fourth quarter.
Well, Jason, let's talk a little bit about that and unpack that, because when we were talking before we started recording, I didn't realize that you were going to be combining both Mountain View and Wildcat into that resource estimate and into that PEA, you know, slated for third quarter on the resource and fourth quarter for the PEA. Just talk about the synergy about these two projects, you know, being able to be worked on simultaneously.
Yeah, it really adds to the production profile. You can really increase the ton. So what it will be is Wildcat will come online first. The beauty thing about Wildcat, what people don't know, is that there is literally no waste rock, okay? The strip is 0.15, okay? So from not only is that good from an economics perspective, but from a permitting perspective, you don't have to permit waste rock. And from an OPEX perspective, you don't have to manage your waste rock. So everything goes onto the pad. So that'll come on first. Obviously, it's easier because there's no strip and you can start cash flowing quicker. And then Mountain View will come on 2 years later to that, because it'll take longer to permit because there will be waste rock. But the synergy really is that from Mountain View, you would truck the loaded carbon to a centralized stripping facility. So it saves you about $25 million on your CapEx and probably a dollar on your G&A. So it's just so everyone knows is that, you know, each project will have its own pit pads and ponds, but the loaded carbon, so think about it as a very, very concentrated, a slurry basically, gets basically driven in pickup trucks to, you know, 60 kilometers to Wildcat to strip it and pour your Adore there.
So you've mentioned a little bit about the mineralization that you're seeing, and that hole 24 was highlighted that long intercept came in mixed oxide fresh material. If you're talking about combining Mountain View and Wildcat, I'm assuming all this material is very similar in nature.
Oh, totally. So it's all going to be heap leach. You know, unless the grades start getting a lot higher, which I think they will once you get into the bonanza zone, into the feeder. But right now, it's going to be just very simple, low capex to start to generate cash flow. And that's what will be reflected in the PEA. So this will all be heap leach. We know that the sulfides leach around 50% with no lime and no cyanide consumption. So the sulfides are leachable. It's important to know that some people think sulfides aren't leachable. It really comes down to, you know, where is the gold hosted, and also the porosity and the permeability of your host rock.
Well, yeah, the beauty of oxidized material and even some of that sulfide material in a heap leach scenario is that it's low capex. And like you said, you've got the low strip rate over at Wildcat. So that really helps. So when you look at the drill program that you have set up for Wildcat, since that just got underway, walk us through what the drill program is at Wildcat for this year.
Yeah. So again, it's just to do the geotechnical work, do the metallurgy, see what the conversion rate is, see if we can find the plumbing system like we did at Mountain View at depth and really see where it's opened up. You know, there you could see an image on slide 9. You know, you could see the pitch shell and all the blocks below that aren't in the current resource. It should be noted that in Nevada, there's two types of permits, okay? There is a permit, which is your NOI permit, which gives you 5 acres of disturbance. Then there's a plan of operations permit that takes about, you know, a year and a half to get, and it costs around $1.5 million. And it's really important for your listeners that neither Mountain View or Wildcat have ever had a plan of operations on them. So, you know, Wildcat, for example, all the drilling is within 5 acres. The land package is 17,000 acres, okay? You know, right now we know the mineralized footprint from surface sampling and channel sampling at Wildcat alone is 2.3 kilometers by 1.2 kilometers. Oxidation's about 100, 150. So, you know, you do that type of math and, you know, be conservative, use density for, at 2.5 and say, you know, 20, 30% is mineralized. Maybe the strip can change a bit, but you know, you're looking at over 200 million tons. We're currently at 61 million tons. So the growth potential in 2023 program is significant, but this program is really designed to see what the conversion rate is and to do the engineering work for the PEA.
So Jason, how quickly are you going to be able to get through this drill program? Because phase one is just part of a 20,000 meter program at Wildcat. First 20 holes for 3,000 meters. How quickly are you going to be able to move through all this?
So 3,000 meters, depending on the rock. I don't want to promise anyone anything until the drill should be turning this afternoon. I'm hoping in an ideal world, we can chew through that in a month. And that'll be the last portion of the 20,000 meters. That all that material will then go to do the metwork, to do the geotech. That'll feed the updated resource in the third quarter. That resource will feed the PEA in the fourth quarter. And at that time, we'll go move the rigs back to Mountain View to step out along the northwest and continue to step out, because at Mountain View, we still have some disturbance left. So at Wildcat, we're looking at, after this program, we'll be at like 4.9 acres of disturbance, whereas at Mountain View, we're sitting at 3.6 under the current permit. So we can keep on stepping out at Mountain View throughout the rest of the year.
Well, Jason, just remind people of the cash position of the company, what you have in the treasury, and what the budget is for, you know, the remaining exploration, and also some of the work you're doing to work towards that PEA.
Yeah, so as of the fourth quarter of 2021, there was $12 million in the bank. Numbers closer to 10. The budget, the whole budget for the company was $9.7 million this year. So we have the cash to complete everything we've talked about.
Okay. Jason, thank you for the update. When it comes to news that's coming up, it sounds like still a lot of drill results, the resource, and the PEA. So a lot of stuff coming out of the company. Please keep us up to date on future news. And if anybody has any follow-up questions for Jason regarding any of the work going on at Wildcat or at Mountain View or at any of the company's other projects, feel free to email us, fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. Jason, thanks again for your time. Keep us up to date on future news, please.
Thanks a lot, guys.